All right, welcome back. It is Friday, and we are about to do our Jeff and Erica COVID Chronicles update for the third time this week. This is a story that is not going to go away. It's going to only get worse. So we will be doing our best to continue to distill and ultimately disseminate as much reality as we can. It's not easy to do. But what happened last week? We learned that the mRNA is not, when it gets into the cell with the assist of the liquid nanoparticle and gets into the cell, orders the cell to stop making all the other proteins it used to make, basically, and only produce the spike protein. Well, we learned that isn't true. Apparently, about one-third of the spike proteins, instead of 100%, are being observed now, and they're finding out that the cells are only, once they've been co-opted and taken over, only putting out a third of their output of proteins being spike. The other two-thirds are what they're calling rogue proteins. We don't know what the hell they're doing. These were all built into this system. Make no mistake about it. And we don't know what these other proteins are doing. They are being shed as well. All right, so keep all that firmly in mind. It's very important. There is another story. Propaganda plus mass vaccination equals hell on earth. Yes, fair enough. Then they cite in the headline, crazy violence that's breaking out all over may be one more adverse event. Well, you can bet it is. Remember all the stories we've covered about personality changes and so forth? This is prion brain damage. Spike, protein, prion, brain damage. You can lump it all together and put it in the basket. Doesn't matter. Violent actions, crazy actions, erratic actions, personalities changing, people no longer recognizable for what they used to be, and on and on. It's getting worse out there. None of this is by happenstance or circumstance. It was part of the weapon. Make no mistake. All right. You there, partner? How goes it?
I'm here. I'm hanging in.
Right.
You too.
Yes, me too. Yes, we are. There are a number of things coming out almost on a daily basis. Some are worthy, some are not. There's just a tremendous amount of news about this whole catastrophe now. A former Bill Gates vax scientist predicts sharp population decline up to 30 to 40% in highly injected countries. Sound like maybe this country, which has over 600 million injections disseminated into the 275 million who took them. So you're talking about an average of 2+ per individual. So if the Gates scientists, I mean, these guys could be phony, I don't know, but they're saying 30 to 40% population decline. Sounds a little bit like Deagle.com, does it not? Just a little.
Sure does. But, you know, we've been predicting this or anticipating this now for 3 years.
Exactly. Exactly. We have a bit of video for you tonight to share because it is now more imperative than ever that you understand when you go out. And we've been telling you, as Erica just said, for years, please understand that shedding is out there, shedding is real, and shedding can kill. Okay? I just get that. That's just for openers. We're going to get into this with attorney Tom Renz now in just a couple minutes and play some video. You want to set this up for us?
Yeah, so this is attorney Tom Renz, who is fairly well known now. He's an attorney out of Ohio, but he's been taking on a lot of legal cases, pushing back on these, just about anything and everything that has to do with, foisting this poison on people. Yes.
Yeah.
And he put out a video on December 28th, so about a week ago, on the topic of shedding. mRNA shedding is real. Cancer is also a part of that, and how these manufacturers knew this as far back as 2006, as indicated by the literature in the FDA agency there, that you know, this is considered a gene therapy by virtue of the way it works. And as such, shedding is a part of that, and they were trying to quantify how to measure its effect on, you know, I guess you'd call them bystanders or people that
exactly
didn't want the stuff or shouldn't
right.
be affected by it. And it's a concern, too, because some of these vectors, whether it's lipid nanoparticles or viral vectors, were being used to deliver genes for people that, you know, were missing some essential gene for their physiology and or cancer treatment. So, you know, somebody who doesn't have cancer doesn't want to be exposed to this stuff. So it was a concern of how to regulate that. But I think it was a moot point because, you know, it never really took off. You know, it was never successful enough that it had to have all the regulations attached to it.
Correct. Yeah, I agree. All right. Ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. Attorney Tom Renz on mRNA shedding being real, which you heard here 3 years ago, cancer, and the FDA. We're going to hear a couple of little clips from this video, and let's see. I haven't heard these. I did skim through them, but I'm going to be listening very carefully with all of you.
The vaccine manufacturers themselves, Pfizer and Moderna, have actually stated openly in their SEC filings that the COVID vaccines and mRNA are considered gene therapy jabs, right? These are gene therapy products. They admit that, right? So we've got all sorts of people that are, you know, arguably, or that are arguing that these are, you know, these aren't gene therapies. But we've got I post, and you can go to my Twitter feed and you can find it. It's there. Pfizer themselves and Moderna themselves have admitted these are gene therapy jabs. They just are, okay? Now,
if I might again repeat and reiterate, it's unfortunate that the term therapy is at all attached to this whole Holocaust. It shouldn't be, but it is. So they're calling it gene therapy. The other way to look at it would be it's gene manipulation, which I think would be more appropriate, but that's...
Yeah, that's a better word.
I can explain that, and I'm going to explain that here in a minute. But with that in mind, I want to show you guys this. If you look here, you see the March 2015, determining the need and content of environmental assessments for gene therapies, vectored vaccines, related recombinant viral or microbial products. That's it, right? So all of these different things are, when they talk about mRNA, there's just a whole bunch of different technologies and different names that they're using to talk about things that are essentially gene therapies, right? They're things that modify your genetics. Now, I want to go through, and there's a couple key points that I want to talk about here. This is an FDA document, right? This isn't me. Here, we start out with this. What are gene therapies? Well, gene therapies are defined by FDA guidance document titled Gene Therapy Clinical Trials, dated 2006, which, by the way, where do we have that? We've got that one in here somewhere. But anyways, it defined as products that mediate their effects by transcription and or translation of transferred genetic material and or integrating into the host genome, and that are administered as nucleic acids, viruses, genetically engineered microorganisms. The products may be used to modify cells in vivo or transferred to cells ex vivo prior to administration of the recipient, right? What does that mean in English? It means the COVID vaccines are gene therapies. Okay, that's what it means. For purposes of this guidance, a vectored vaccine is one that uses a virus or microbe or a DNA plasmid to introduce DNA RNA encoding for antigens in the cells of the body. Vector refers to the virus, microbe, or DNA plasmid used as a carrier. Okay, that's super important, folks. These mRNA vaccines, and now that we're seeing the DNA contamination in them and the different issues from these plasmids, these are absolutely, that's exactly what this applies for, right?
Now, what Tom is saying, the DNA fragments, DNA, these were intentionally put in there. Some people try to dismiss this as a contaminant. And each injection, if you remember, I don't want to be too repetitive, but each injection has between 200 billion and 400 billion fragments of DNA in it. We don't know what the DNA is designed to do, where it fits, but we do know it can integrate into your DNA. So I wouldn't call this therapy. I would call it intervention, manipulation. I'd use words I wouldn't use on the radio. This stuff is bad, and this is the newer side of the issue. So, you know, you took those shots, you poor people. 200 to 400 billion pieces of unknown DNA going into your system, in addition to the mRNA, the LNP, and obviously spike coming out. Or if you took the one vaccination, you got nothing but spike protein. I mean, there's a range of things going on here. It's horrific, ultimately. All right, here.
It is.
Let's go back. Yeah, thanks. It is, indeed.
Now, this document goes on, and it talks about shedding as a potential issue, and what sort of shedding there you need to look for, and do you need an environment? So an EA is called, let me bring this up here. So here they're talking about an EA. See an EA? How do you determine if an EA? So an EA is an environmental assessment, right? So you have to do this in certain instances, and this is talking about whether or not you need an EA, an environmental assessment. And what this is about is, does this stuff shed? Does it get into the environment? Does it pass from person to person? Does it flow from person to person? And it absolutely is. Now, I want to point out that this is just the first of several. So we're going to go through several of these, right? And I'm going to make a full and complete argument about the shedding and show you how this works. But essentially, do you need to do an environmental assessment to determine whether your gene therapy or vectored vaccine or related recombinant viral or microbial product is going to shed, right? That's a big deal, right? Well, we'll get to the how. I see someone asking about the how. We'll get there. Before we do, by the way, hit share. We need people watching. We need to get this out there. Need as many eyes on this as possible. We're really going to get into this. And we also need, I'm going to ask, I need 100,000 people, $20 a month. We need to launch lawfare against all this stuff. We cannot fight this stuff without funding. You guys keep me in business. You keep the lights on. You keep everything going. It's real simple. I've given everything I can give. I'll continue to, but we got to do a little bit of grifting. If we don't make the money to hire the people and to pay the people, producer Andrea needs a huge, huge salary for her to tolerate to tolerate me at all. So please help me pay producer Andrea's huge salary. Help me fund lawyers and these people all over the place. We need your help. TomRens.com. TomRens.com, $20 a month. Please help us. Share the America Out Loud Network. Share the Tom Renz Show. Share.
All right. He wants 100,000 people to pop $20 a month. That's $2 million a month, or almost $50 million a year.
Yeah.
He could throw 1% this way, and it would help us. All right. Good luck. All right, let's get back to the shedding thing.
Let's get this out there. All right, back to this. So when we look at this, we see that there is, this provides some general guidance, right? But let's go down here. So this is design and analysis of shedding studies for virus or bacteria-based gene therapy and oncolytic products, right? So we have a number of gene therapy products that are now out there that are based on these viral factors or gene therapies, right? And they shed. If they didn't shed, they'd say, well, why do you need design analysis? Why do you need a shedding study, right? Why would the FDA tell you about a shedding study if there was no risk of it, right? They wouldn't. So let's scroll down here, right? And let me just get into this because this is really big. the Center for Biologics Evaluation, CYBER, right? And the OCTGT is issuing this guidance to provide you, sponsors of virus or bacteria-based gene therapy products, right? VBGT, virus bacteria-based gene therapy products, and oncolytic viruses or bacteria oncolytic products, with recommendations on how to conduct shedding studies during preclinical or clinical development. Now, Pfizer was agreed to do a study based on this guidance on Comirnaty, which is the same mRNA vaccine that you have in all these others, right? So these are all mRNA, mod RNA. I mean, these are all biologics, and they all fall under this. They all have the potential to shed. They agreed. Pfizer agreed in the approval letter to do this study. These are not cheap studies, right? So for purposes of guidance, the term shedding means release of viral bacterial genetic therapy, gene therapy, or oncolytic products from the patient through one or all of the following ways, right? Someone asked, how does it spread? Let me talk to you about this. Okay. Poop, that's excreta. Secreta, which is pee, spit, snot, all those gross things, or through the skin, pustules, sores, wounds. Now, there's some debate over whether or not this could happen with sweat, but it's not described here, so that's that, right?
No, wrong. We know now that there are, in fact, proteins in the skin on the surface of your epidermis. And if you are sweating, it stands to reason that at the very least, some of those proteins are going to meld with the sweat and go elsewhere, as in on you or wherever else they're going, something you may touch. So I would say that I think it's more than practical to say that sweat is a vector. I wouldn't hold back on that.
Yeah, sweat or you know, we've had instances where a handshake transmitted the
right.
Whatever, the poison, the illness. And, you know, a hug, cheek to cheek.
A wet kiss? Come on.
Well, that goes without saying. I mean, sexual contact. There's been numerous examples of that.
You're playing with dynamite. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Those days are over for now. They're just over. You can't do it anymore. So if you're happily married, for God's sakes, protect that. And don't blow the game. You got a good thing going. It's very hard to find and meet people safely anymore. I'd say it's virtually impossible because people lie. There are all kinds of reasons why. Anyway, All right. Here we go.
Shedding is distinct from biodistribution because the latter describes how a product is spread within a patient's body from site of administration, while the former describes how it is excreted or released from the patient's body. Shedding raises the possibility of transmission of VBGT or oncolytic products from treated to untreated individuals, close contacts, and healthcare professionals.
Oncolytic. Tell them what oncolytic products are. Onco.
That's cancer. So these are cancer treatments.
All right. Here we go.
So this is absolutely something they knew. Someone said this is intentional, and you're damn right it is. They knew what was happening. They knew that this stuff could shed. This document is dated 2015. Now, if you recall, I've had testimony saying that they already had COVID 2015 or somewhere around there, right? We also have testified in front of MTG at her hearing that the vaccines already existed. So this guidance would make total sense in light of the fact that this stuff already existed, right? Gene therapy products are all products that mediate their effects through transcription, translation of transferred genetic material, integrating the host genome that are administered as, right? Folks, they're telling us right here, they knew about the potential for this to transfer. They knew that this could happen. Nonetheless, the possibility that the shed Viral bacterial gene therapy or oncolytic product may be infectious, raises safety concerns related to the risk of transmission to untreated patients or individuals. They knew, folks. This is just as clear as day. This whole thing. This is absolutely indisputable. Okay, so this is how products, samples that you collect to see whether or not it's shedding. You can do pee and spit and nasal swabs, all sorts of different things. So they're looking at all this, and you guys can read this. I mean, we'll have links up and we'll have everything up at some point. But when you look at this, this is absolutely something that they knew as early as 2015, this stuff sheds. They knew. So here you've got assessing the potential for transmission to untreated individuals due to shedding. That is an open admission that when they put this product out, that there is no way that, I mean, they knew people were going to get this without informed consent. It's an admission. What information in the shedding data can be used to assess potential for transmission to unrelated patients? I mean, folks, they knew. They knew. I mean, Andrea, how are you feeling about this? How are you feeling about your kids being exposed to people who got vaccinated that may be shedding this crap on them?
All right, it goes on from there, and she's obviously very disturbed by it. We've been telling you this for 3 years. It's obvious. Look, if you just had a normal virus, you're going to spread it via shedding. This is traditional. This is how viruses jump around. Anyhow, this should be no surprise to anyone. And yet here is Tom, and he does a lot of good work, kind of like this is the new thing. He wants 100,000 people to donate $20 a month. That's 24,000 a year, not 48. I hit the wrong key on my trusty calculator, but he's looking to raise 24,000 a year for legal fees, filings, litigation, and so forth. I know in a corrupt, crooked court system, I wish him well. I really do. I hope he can get something done.
Now, they've had some token wins. You can't deny that.
That's true.
But, this thing is already, the weapon's deployed.
It's a done deal. This thing was perfected, was built, designed, created, polished, perfected, and deployed. And with great success. 13 billion injections? That's great success.
I would say so.
Well, there we are. All right, let's see. 28. Okay. I'm queuing it to the next section. Here we go.
My bullets. Let me one up all this, because this is terrible, right?
Right.
But remember, I've talked about cancer. My wife has cancer, mm-hmm. right? My wife works at a school. She volunteers there pretty much. She basically volunteers there. And so she's around all of these little poisoned kids who get jabbed. And we've seen in the schools, and this is something that I just have observed. I can't prove this. But in schools, yes, we are on Rumble, by the way. You can follow us, Tom Renz on Rumble. We are in schools, and when we look at schools, we see a lot of teachers coming down with cancer. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of other people coming down with cancer, and we hear about the turbo cancers, and they all say turbo cancer. Oh, Ryan Cole is nuts. Renz is nuts. There's no turbo cancer, right? Well, folks, let me show you what I found here. This is from 2006. Guidance for industry, gene therapy clinical trials, observing subjects for delayed adverse events. 2006, folks, FDA, right? CBER, Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research. FDA, 2006. Let's scroll down to what this says, right? I'm going to come back up here, but let's go down here. Potential risks of delayed adverse events following exposure to gene transfer technology. Study subjects exposed to gene transfer tech may be at risk of delayed adverse events as a consequence of persistent biological activity of the genetic material or other components of the products used to carry genetic material. The persistent biological activity may be necessary for the product to provide continuing clinical benefit. However, persistent biological activity could have adverse effects upon normal cell function, placing subjects at risk for development of adverse events, some of which may be delayed by months or years. Remember in 2021 when I said 3 to 5 years is when we're really going to see the deaths from COVID vaccines? Well, let's read on here. What kind of delayed events could there be? Well, I'll bet you they're going to tell us. Factors likely to increase the risk of delayed adverse events following exposure to gene transfer technology include persistence of the viral vector, integration of genetic material in the host genome, prolonged expression of the transgene, and altered expression of the host genes. Well, okay, that's so longer it's in there, the worse it can be, right? What do we think that's going to be? And they talk about how this can happen and where there's going to be. But the risk of malignant transformation is a possibility, right? Genomic DNA raises integrases the risk of malignant transformation. What? Prolonged expression of transgene may be associated with long-term risks resulting from unregulated cell growth, malignant transformation, autoimmune-like reaction to self-antigens, and unpredictable adverse events. What? What? Folks, autoimmune issues, malignant transformation, unpredictable. Do you know what that is? You know what that is, folks? That's cancer and AIDS-like symptoms or other autoimmune reactions. I mean, it could be all sorts of things. We don't know what it could be. It could be a damage to the autoimmune system. It could be more. But malignant transformation, that's cancer, folks. Cancer. This is the FDA acknowledging in 2006 gene therapy can cause cancer. Here's where they say we considered retroviruses to carry us the highest known risk because of reported case of new malignancy associated with preclinical gene therapy study. 2006, folks. 2006. Here's the definitions. Here's where they define gene therapy products, gene transfer, all this stuff, right? We'll get this all out there. Folks, in 2006, they knew that gene therapy drugs cause cancer or have the potential to cause cancer. They also talk about this, right? Inadvertent germline gene transfer. They talk about the fact that they knew that this could integrate into your cells. They knew this could be there long term. And in fact, we have other documents that show that these guys knew they have intentionally created these different things in a way where there has been, they want these to stay in your cell. Messenger RNA is 3 days maybe at the most. It's not messenger RNA. They used mod RNA. They used other things to make sure that this was more robust and stayed in there longer. This was done intentionally.
Well, you betcha. That's 18 years ago. The admission was there. I don't know how to reach a lot of people who just do not want to even think about these things. They want so much for life to be as it was. I understand that. But look at these holiday season we just had. I don't know anyone who is reporting that it was anything like it was 10, 20 years ago. No joy, no happiness, a lot of grief, having lost loved ones. And I'll tell you again, there are many more people dying than the mainstream media or the alt-news media will probably ever inform you about. Remember, the alt-news is now essentially controlled by the same people who largely created it, as well as the mainstream media. So you don't have much of a chance unless you're real sharp and know where to look and know who to listen to. And it is interesting to me that people like Mike Adams and a few others are beginning to post, publish, and present truth and reality, the likes of which we have been doing here for years. And they're doing that now because I firmly believe that it, in the view of the controllers, it is now essentially game over. They've gotten the vaccines in as many people as they can. They're relying on the proven transmission vector called shedding to pick up most of the vax refusers. They know the game. So what the hell do they care if the truth comes out? Those people presenting the truth suddenly are now going to gain more street credibility because they'll be known as truth tellers. We're being played all the time, 25 hours a day. I guarantee it, 8 days a week. It doesn't slow down. So, again, just be careful. Do your research. And when you see things like graphene oxide, et cetera, go to another source. Disconnect yourself from that. Or if you're seeing things that people are telling you that nicotine is going to cure everything, cure. If you hear the word cure, run. There's no cure for this. The symptomatic
or antidote,
relief,
I would say. Antidote's being tossed around. There's no antidote. For everything that's gone wrong in the body as a result of this, there's no quick fix.
No.
There's nothing that's going to undo it.
All right. We have a lot of material here to present to you tonight that Eric has put together for us. So let's, since you're always leading, let me pick one.
Oh, okay.
That's a little inside joke there. See? All right. Better luck with functional integrative doctors. Now, functional integrative doctors or medicine is a term that a lot of people aren't familiar with. They really don't understand it. They don't have a good grasp of it. So explain, if you would, functional integrative medicine. Just give us a thumbnail.
Well, these are classically trained physicians. They're legitimate MDs, but they have more training in terms of how to integrate the various body systems and looking at the person as a whole and going for the root cause of whatever the disease is. And when we're dealing with complex chronic illness, as so many people have these days, even before these shots rolled out, there were many people that were chronic sufferers of, Lyme is a big one, mold-related illness, just environmental sensitivities, just feeling unwell, chronic fatigue syndrome, chronic pain syndromes. And, your average conventional allopathic doctor is ill-equipped to address those issues. They're very good at dealing with acute care, things that require emergency interventions. But when it comes to chronic disease, not so good. And so, pursuing treatment through a conventionally trained allopathic doctor doesn't always bring the best results. And so people have more luck if they can find a reasonably competent, integrative or functional medicine doctor, not somebody that's just gone to a weekend seminar and, gotten her certificate. You can really, hone in on what the underlying issues are and so that you can get back to a state of health. And so this post that we have right here is an example of somebody having had that exact experience.
All right, there's several, and we can start with this one. So go ahead with better luck. Let's see how that goes.
Okay, this is someone who is vax injured. I have a story to share, and I know most of us are very desperate. I've always been confident and capable, but this is another ball game. I've seen many doctors to little avail. I did see one for 15 months that helped, but never, quote, fixed me. I paid him over $5,000, and I believed in him. One day I woke up and thought, nothing is changing. Nothing is getting better. I switched to another professional. In 4 weeks, my stomach, which was pure hell, is better. I don't belch all night, cry all day, or live in pain. Another week, and I have this gut feeling I will get better daily. I'll not answer questions on who those doctors are, because they are well known. Just remember, you are the hirer. You owe nobody knowing but to get you well. If not, move on. This is complex, but there are doctors out there that know a lot more than others. And I would agree. I think people are being led to believe that these prominent doctors are the go-to for this. And I would say they're decent. You know, they're certainly, you know, experienced and capable. But I don't know if they're well-equipped or skilled at treating complex chronic illness, as well as some of these other doctors that have been at it literally for years, decades in some cases.
Yeah. A lot of these people are, I'm not going to knock them, I won't name any of them, but they tend to be one-dimensional. You need a three-dimensional, a real thinker, someone who's really well-read on this, who understands the dynamic of it and the treachery of how ruthless it is when it gets into your body, these injections. I shouldn't exclude the virus either. That's a synthetic bioweapon too, but especially the injections. My God, we've cataloged this over and over again. Dozens of different ways that these injections will cause a breakdown and a collapse of all the functions that you need to maintain life, living. You're going to die in time. And
I would add
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, the havoc that these injections create in people, you know, the way it undermines the immune system and the circulation, so that you're dealing now with a weakened immune system where, you know, otherwise latent viruses have been reawakened. I can't tell you how many people post-injection are also now dealing with reawakened Epstein-Barr, reawakened HHV-6, which is a herpes virus.
Yeah.
And Lyme. Lyme is coming up positive for a lot of people. And it's possible, I mean, it's likely, they've known this now for years, that many people actually carry the Lyme bacteria, the spirochete, and they don't know it. The immune system does a wonderful job at keeping it in check, and so you can go many years, if not an entire lifetime, and never even know that you have it.
Well, that spirochete is also a bioweapon. It came from Plum Island.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. So that's, and in some people, you know, depending on their immune system and their genetics, they're more susceptible at succumbing to the virus. Some people are just, you know, it depends on their immune system and other things. But so, you know, you very quickly run into a situation where, you know, it's not just the injection that you're dealing with. It's all these other festering things that
it's a cascade. It's it's ruthless. It's terrible.
And,
go ahead,
you know,
and
add to that
the when you're ready. Go ahead.
Just one more thing: the endotoxemia that is resulting from the leaky gut is also a major problem, and you know that continues to be overlooked, but it is a problem. And so, without addressing the issues that are going on with the gut, you know, healing is not going to be possible. I'll just say that. You have to repair the permeability in the intestine. Otherwise, everything that's living in the intestine, which, you know, post-injection or post-infection, tends to be a lot of pathogenic bacteria. Remember the bifido, which is the good, the beneficial bacteria that make all the good compounds and antimicrobials, it's wiped out.
Nothing
so,
there.
You know, you're dealing with a gut that's allowing bacteria and bacterial products into the bloodstream and inflaming the entire body, and the body's not going to calm down with that going on.
Now, these are putrescent bacteria. They're leaking through the intestinal wall into the bloodstream and being transmitted all over the body. No wonder people feel like hell. No wonder they don't want to get out of bed.
Yeah.
And most doctors are not going to identify this. The digestive tract bacterial load and what it's composed of and its integrity is probably the maybe the single biggest bedrock thing we can point at that must be addressed. You've got to get your bacterial flora and fauna back to what it was, stabilized.
Well, I was, you know, first and foremost, get the gut healed so it's not leaking into the bloodstream.
Can't leak, right? Can't have a
and
leak.
And then, start putting the good guys back.
Right,
but that's a chore. You've got to be working with somebody that has some experience in that area, and there are ones. But it's not the ones that are being trotted out there for public consumption right now.
No. When you see the big billboard and the flashing lights, understand that there's a lot of money involved, and people are people. They're making lots of money, and they're real happy about that. All right, go ahead.
Okay, there were several replies to that, but this is one of the better ones. Someone says, it's hard, but once you realize that the pharmaceutical companies don't care, the government doesn't care, and most of your friends and family don't care either, you have to accept it and move forward with trying to help yourself. I can save you a lot of time and money by telling you that the entire healthcare industry is basically a death camp based on money, and you would be better off seeking alternative treatments like functional medicine or naturopath. Best of luck. Hugs.
Yeah. Well, we played the video from Dr. Mark Siegel, the Fox News expert who's urging everybody, and it was very interesting to me. I repeat this. He said, give them a 20-second long hug.
It's funny he felt compelled to mention a time frame.
I'm very suspicious of that, to put it mildly. A normal hug is 3 to 5 seconds.
Yeah.
That's it. But he said 20.
That's seconds.
That's planting that in people's subconscious, telling you.
Yep.
They're not your friends, these people. All right, here's another one. This is kind of sad. The picture of her son with looks like a wolf or a wolf hybrid. And
yeah.
He's gone. Thank you for adding me to this group. I'm from Illinois, and our family fell victim to the jab. This is my forever 29-year-old son, who I found on my couch, deceased, the morning after Christmas 2023. I'm angry at the government. He had no medical problems until he went against my wishes and got the Moderna shots on 421 and 521, just 28 days apart. He got them because he wanted to travel and was led to believe he had to get them if he wanted to travel anywhere. Fast forward to about January 23rd. He began with a few ailments, just having episodes of not feeling well and a cough. Fast forward to June 23rd, 6 months later. He went to ER and was told he was an alcoholic, because his blood alcohol serum level was high and his fatty liver disease was there as well. Fast forward to December 8th, 2023. He was in another hospital ICU, and they too thought he was lying about drinking. His blood alcohol was over 300, they said. Congestive heart failure due to either an undiagnosed heart attack or a broken heart syndrome or liver failure. Broken heart syndrome. He must have been having personal problems, huh? That sounds
psychological. That's a new diagnosis that's being given to people. It's got a Japanese name to it, a technical name, but it's being bandied about now as a label for people with these cardiomyopathies that aren't, it's not your typical cardiomyopathy. You get pain when you stress.
Got it. Okay. A broken heart, they're calling it.
Yeah.
And just keep in mind also that many, many of these people who die suddenly, their heart stops. Their heart is stopped. It cannot be revived. That's what's happening all the time now. You see it. Despite heroic efforts, despite valiant efforts, such and such could not be revived. The heart is done. It's burned out on sludge pumping. It's burnout because it can no longer get the electrical signals from the brain stem, wherever it comes from, to beat.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to this. December 26th, the day after Christmas, I woke up and found him gone. Preliminary autopsy reports showed his heart was one of the top 10 largest hearts this pathologist of 30 years has seen, and he does approximately 500 autopsies a year. So his heart had enlarged. There is absolutely no reason his heart was so large other than side effects from the shots. Reports are now showing increased cases of males 18 to 30 having enlarged hearts. He had a clean heart, no heart attack, no liver issues other than fluid from the heart. His left lung had been compromised and actually shrunk due to the size of the heart in a chest cavity only so big. The government needs to take responsibility. My son had dreams and goals he will never get to do now. I am broken. This isn't my first loss, but it is the first that could have been prevented. The coroner said right after the shots, healthy men were dropping like flies from heart attacks. And now the past year, young men 18 to 30 suffering from enlarged hearts. Families are stuck paying for final expenses because of what they have done. There aren't programs out there to help that we have found. My son's story must be told.
It's tragic.
His name is Harlan, H-A-R-L-E-N. October 29th, 1994, December 26th, 2023. So this is just one of millions of stories like this.
Yeah, right. And you know, they accused him of being drunk, but, you know, when you have these metabolic issues, you know, your body is generating aldehydes that get converted to alcohol, and you know, even with a field sobriety test, people have been accused of driving drunk when they haven't been drinking, but it's because of the buildup or the inability of their body to process these types of aldehydes that it's generating, and then it breaks down into alcohol, and it goes in a vicious circle, and they appear to be drunk, and you know, it's having the same effect on the brain, right, as if they were drunk, because it is alcohol, and it's, you know, it impairs your reaction time and your judgment. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he obviously didn't get the care that he needed when he went to the hospital.
No, and I unfortunately, I think I can speak for my partner here that the hospital and most doctors are not going to help you much. They're going to take your money. They're going to order tests to protect themselves. They don't want to lose their licenses. We get that. So they run all the tests in the world, and we've seen it how many times? Countless times. Now the tests show somebody's perfect or they're not being impacted like they would guess, and yet the person dies. So... All right, we've covered all this, all of it. You go back and listen to our earlier programs. Please share them. Please learn from them. That's why we do this. Go ahead with losing hope.
Okay. Today, I am losing hope as my symptoms progress. 2.5 years of deterioration and constant fighting to find answers and help. No relief from this nightmare. No support from family, but rather total abandonment and disbelief. Like many, I have lived in isolation and have been to every possible doctor, specialist, natural healing, spent tens of thousands of dollars, and just don't know how to keep up the fight. The neuropathy, heart dysfunction, cognitive decline, tinnitus, and 24-hour burning, numbness, burning skin, muscle wasting, and so many more symptoms. I want to live, but I am so frightened at the lack of control of these symptoms. I just can't imagine it ever healing as much as I've tried. The isolation and rejection from my family is so heartbreaking. The ones that forced the vax on me, watching the world live and not be a part of it, instead trapped in a body of pain, is becoming unbearable. A time that should be the happiest time of my life. I'm scared I'm going to stop breathing or have a heart attack. The gaslighting from friends and doctors is so upsetting. I'm petrified my children will lose me. I feel poisoned, and taking that vax, one Pfizer, was the biggest mistake of my life. I pray for all of us going through this nightmare. I just want to hold my children's hands and do everything I could with them.
And the people who push that person into conforming and getting the injections are turning their back on that individual. That's the message.
Yep.
Sickening. All right, we've got time for, I think, one more here. All right. My beautiful husband, from a glowing, fit, and healthy 37-year-old athlete who trained and played competitive soccer and ran 10 kilometers every second day for general fitness, to someone whose body is completely failing, pericarditis, immune-mediated, small fiber neuropathy, autoimmune, autonomic gangliopathy, and
myositis.
And now
inflammation of the muscle.
Got it. And now some ECG changes and further investigations. When will this end? In constant pain every minute of the day, and he can no longer walk or stand for more than 5 minutes. How did this happen? I'm really struggling to understand how it happened. I'm really struggling to understand how this has damaged almost every inch of his body. He's 37 years old. I'm really struggling to understand how this has happened to so many innocent people. The sickness to my stomach, watching my husband struggle with his physically hurts my soul. It is actually physically painful. When are people going to be held accountable for what they have done to humanity? When will justice be served for all of you innocent people? I wish we could all band together and do something. I feel like everyone here all have almost identical symptoms in so many ways. Why can't we all meet with our medical documents and proof of our health prior to this evil therapy and stand together and fight this? What can we do? How are we going to win this and put the people who did this where they belong? When will this end? Well, where they belong is 6 feet under or in a crematorium. I've had it with them. I'm just finished. These people knew, many of them knew damn well that these were dangerous things, unproven, and they knew there were ill effects being reported, and that yet they kept sticking those needles in people's arms for the money. So I say to hell with them. Get him out of here. I'm sick of no accountability like this person writing this. It's absolutely hideous. All right, we have many more stories. Next time we'll get to more of them for you. Anything you want to add here?
No. That's plenty, I think.
All right.
Plenty to chew on.
I agree. All right. Thank you. Great job. Talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we will be right back with hour number 3 for all of you.